Is the EU just the new China? Numerous EU countries have banned YouTube videos criticizing its proposed chat control regulation for fear of backlash.
More or less all the EU countries, they want to tax everything. If they could tax the oxygen that you breathe, they would.
This is so outrageous. I don't even know what to comment on this. I knew things were going to get bad, but now this is just like completely off the charts.
The European Union is not only pushing for scanning citizens' private messages, but now openly censoring resistance. Numerous EU countries have banned YouTube videos criticizing its proposed chat control regulation for fear of backlash. So, is the EU just the new China? Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Tony and Katie here with me. Before we jump in, be sure to smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and stick around to the end for our Donkey of the Week. Alrighty, Katie, can you give a bit of a background on chat control, what it is, and what we're seeing in terms of censoring this resistance movement?
So chat control is the European legislation. Well, the current legislation is chat control version one. And what it does is it allows platforms to voluntarily scan private messages. However, it does not mandate it. So there's quite a big difference there. And this has been the case for a number of years now. And it has been shown to have a very high failure rate. So the purpose of chat control is to find CSAM on people's or objectionable child material on people's devices. It's had a very high failure rate in its current form. So what they're finding is a lot of innocent material gets flagged that is not actual CSAM. It's been in the news recently because the European Commission wants to introduce something that they're calling Chat Control 2. So we're currently using Chat Control 1, but Chat Control 2 differs because it's not. So Chat Control 1 is temporary legislation. This is permanent legislation. And what the European Commission want is broad, non-targeted client-side scanning of messages. So what that means in effect is that your device does all the scanning before a message is encrypted. And so for all intents and purposes, what this does is actually override end-to-end encryption. So, and they would actually use AI to scan these messages. So for example, they might look for text that looks like child grooming. So if anything is found, it can then be sent directly onto a central database and onto law enforcement agencies. So it doesn't take a genius to see the potential problems with Chat Control 2 in its current form. Now, it's not legislation at the moment. This is what they're going back and forth on and negotiating at the moment. So, I mean, this is a huge slippery slope here. I mean, if you can already scan client side for objectionable material, it wouldn't be hard to see that being extended under the guise of, say, terrorism or national security, for example. So this brings us to a video that was removed from YouTube, but only for EU residents. And the reason this video was removed is because it discussed Chat Control version 2. Now, I tested it and I can confirm that it was not available until I set my VPN to outside the EU. It's in Finnish, which obviously not many people, including myself, speak. So what I did is I just turned on the English captions in order to watch it. So that's been doing the rounds on X, you know, it's being raised, people are aware of it. And today I went back to the same video in question and miraculously it was available to me without a VPN, but now it has no English captions available. So look, YouTube is doing someone's bidding, but they don't want to appear that they are doing so. So when they get caught out, as they did here, they attempt to rectify it only so they don't look like they're actively censoring anything, despite having a really long history of doing so. So, you know, do governments even need to legislate for, say, outright censorship when you have these big tech platforms salivating to do it on their behalf?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, it's fascinating and unsurprising. We've got this map here pulled up. Basically, all of the European Union is censoring video, or they're banning anything criticizing chat control. Tony, what's your take on all of this?
And again, this is all part of, you know, forcing citizens into, you know, a digital dystopia by a bunch of crazy people, you know, who think they have the right to own everybody's thought process, everybody's words, everybody's, you know, 24/7 activities. Again, the silver lining to all of this is that I personally don't think it's going to work. I think in its current form, this only affects apps that, you know, comply with this rubbish and, you know, update or tweak their software in order to allow this to happen. And if that occurs, well, then, you know, if you don't want to be any part of this, if you don't want to be, you know, a guinea pig or have, you know, 24/7 surveillance on everything that you do on what you thought was your phone, then stop using that app, delete the account completely and move over to something that is not complying with this nonsense. The, you know, again, the silver lining to all of this is that it's incentivizing proper solutions to be developed in ways that make any of these attempts laughable. All of these activities, you know, like, I mean, all that hysteria and that insanity is, you know, for one purpose only, to eventually put you in a corner that attaches your money to an ID and a switch that they control. That is what they want. All of these things that we read about are just, you know, like their path to get there. And so it's up to the citizens who actually value their freedom to push back. If big tech companies comply with this, stop using their products. If Apple, Google, Microsoft, or whoever else implements this trash, take their products, throw them in the garbage, and look for open source solutions that are not playing these ridiculous games. And believe me, there are plenty. And in many cases, they are much better than what you thought was the cool device in your hands. So you're spending $1,000 and more on something, you know, that you thought was yours. And now you have to provide ID to use it. That's one. And then everything you do on it, you know, there's someone standing behind your shoulders recording it all. Like, how insane is that? And so there are solutions. What Katie was referring to is something even more dystopian. It's known as, you know, the scanning on the operating side of things. So for example, if on your iPhone, Apple integrates this spyware, it doesn't really matter what app you're using because the phone is being recorded. And so it's like almost like a live screen sharing. And so if that occurs, you take that iPhone and you throw it in the garbage. Because the only way to make these companies, you know, comply and change to reason is to hit them where it hurts. And that's their revenues. The more people do this, you know, that's how you get change. Otherwise, nothing will, you know, will become easier.
Yeah, Tony, I think you nailed it. So one thing I would add is VPNs, critical when it comes to circumventing a lot of these nonsense policies. We can help you. Click the link below to learn more about our online privacy cybersecurity services. We can get you set up with robust open source VPNs because they're not all created equal. That's the other thing I would add. Some of them are probably spying on you. You got to make sure you do it right. Up next, we've got some more mayhem in the European Union. We'll hit on this one quickly, but a Chrome extension developed with Claude is helping people circumvent the age verification requirements quite simply. So they're playing whack-a-mole, basically trying to stop people from bypassing these age verification requirements. And as of yesterday, at least, it looks like a new version of it's out and it's working. We're going to see more and more of this. Tony, this is the point you've been making, is it's like water. They're going to find a crack. It's going to overflow. People are going to find some way to get around all of this stuff.
Of course, man, the worse the attacks, the better the solutions that, you know, come out. And this is why I don't think their futile attempts are going to work, because there are way, way more smarter people on the side of their resistance than there are with these unelected parasites. So just keep an eye out for these solutions. You're going to see plenty of them.
And I would say too that this, I would assume this would work on Brave as well. Maybe think about using a more privacy oriented browser than Chrome, because they might find out who it was downloading these plugins, that kind of thing, if you're using Chrome. But that's more general guidance for people. Katie, what do you think about all of this?
Well, like Tony said, you know, it just goes to show that the collective ingenuity of the general population, in my view, will always outsmart these brilliant bureaucrats with their millions of dollars that they've spent to develop these tech tools. I mean, this is like trying to rake water from the shoreline back into the sea, because all it takes is one person to find a solution or a workaround, and all of their efforts go right out the window.
Yes, you nailed it. But I think the important thing is people need to adopt these tools. People need to encourage the development, fund the development by using them, and show their support for open source solutions and their disdain for politicians. Guys, we're going to stick in Europe for a while because it is absolute clown world over there right now. So this is a Piccadilly Circus. So this is from Molvad. The London councils didn't like their ad campaign against the upcoming state spyware in the UK. So they had this ad. It says, "Stop government spyware on mobile devices." And on the London council's side of the street, they removed the word government at first. And then if you look at some of these other pictures, eventually they moved all of the text and they just kept the Molvad logo. On the other side of the street, however, the entirety of the message is readable. Stop government spyware on mobile devices. This is the irony of it all, is they add fuel on the fire because people begin asking questions. Why is this blacked out? Why is this censored? And then the story comes out and they understand, oh, it's the politicians who are at odds with us, not Molvad. Katie, what do you think about the UK?
They could not have created a better ad campaign for Molvad. This is exactly the sort of thing I saw happening in Hong Kong after the pro-democracy protests. Things that were no longer considered acceptable by the state were physically removed or crossed out by the powers that be so that the public could no longer view it. This is a really great way of telling people, there's a reason we don't want you viewing this. So naturally, everybody has like an immediate curiosity. It's like telling a small child they aren't allowed to do something. I mean, the first thing that you want to do is that forbidden thing. There has been a development, however. I just read today that the UK government have just done a rapid backpedal as of yesterday, and they've announced, they've decided, this is a quote, "We decided not to ban VPNs." What they're really saying here is we figured out that we have no way to enforce this harebrained scheme. So we're going to tell you that we suddenly realize VPNs have legitimate and important uses. And Molvad is an example of a tool that they would not have been able to control or ban because it's decentralized and anonymous.
Yeah, go figure. You can't beat them, join them, and pretend like it was never your idea to begin with. Tony's laughing. By the way, Molvad's a VPN that we do like a lot. Tony, what do you think about all this?
Man, I told you these people are as dumb as it gets, and that you can't stop something like this, you know, especially when it's an open source application. It's, you know, it's like the wind, man. Like you try to close one window, it's going to blow through another, and like water just keeps flowing. So I think at one point they realized how absurd and ridiculous fools they've been looking like, you know, for all these weeks that they've been threatening people with this. And of course, you know, publicly, young folks have been bypassing all of their efforts, you know, again, mocking them publicly. And it's working. So you either ignore these people or you mock them. And, you know, by enforcing, you know, these measures, you know, you get what you want. Like, I mean, the power has always been with the people. People are the resistance. You know, again, remember, these folks are public servants. Like, they work for the people. We're not supposed to be afraid of them. They're supposed to be afraid of, you know, the reaction of the masses who are unhappy with their lousy performance. You know, these guys need to be held accountable. I think this is what, you know, many folks around the globe have forgotten and like finally now somehow are starting to, you know, wake up again, which is good.
Absolutely. It's good to see that people are waking up and it's good to see politicians retract their statements, you know, pull back on things, not because they're good people, but because they realize that we can't win a fight against VPNs and eventually we're going to piss too many people off. So I think this is very important stuff. Guys, we're almost halfway through the episode. Please make sure you've smashed that like button. Be sure you subscribe to the channel. By the way, I'm just going to add this. Earlier this week on Wednesday, we had our BIP 110 podcast come out where we had sort of both sides, a very candid, very cordial conversation about BIP 110. We get a lot of questions about that, as you can imagine. So make sure you subscribe to the channel. Go back and watch that when you're done with Bitcoin banter here. Okay, guys, we got, I think, maybe one more in Europe. So Germany, their finance minister has confirmed that crypto gains will be taxed like capital income. The one-year tax-free holding period that made Germany one of the most Bitcoin-friendly countries in Europe is on the chopping block. So, Katie, It's looking like Germany's heading the wrong direction. No surprise to me. We all talked about the story of maybe a year or so ago when they sold all of their Bitcoin. They obviously don't understand that Bitcoin might be more valuable than something they can just print at will. But what do you think about this?
Yeah, I agree. I think this was pretty inevitable, especially for a country like Germany. I mean, more or less all the EU countries, they want to tax everything. I mean, if they could tax the oxygen that you breathe, they would. So it actually leaves me in one of the last remaining EU countries that still have this capital gains tax-free threshold. So if you hold, it means if you hold your crypto for more than 12 months, there are no capital gains levied on it if you sell it and you make a profit. Where I am, it's because crypto is treated as property. So it's treated the same way as, say, a valuable watch or collector car. And these are not subject to capital gains unless you're a trader. So cynically, I've always assumed it was because there must be some politicians here who hold crypto, and that's why we all get a reprieve. But I can't understand why countries don't want to leverage this capital gains tax-free period to their advantage, because at worst, they are going to force some potentially wealthy residents out of the country because people will leave. And at best, they could actually use this to attract the sorts of people that the economy may desperately need, but they can't see past the ends of their own noses.
I completely agree with that. In going to a place like BTC Prague, where you see the industry really exploding, lots of companies developing very innovative solutions to if there's any desire for politicians genuinely to grow your economy, to attract builders, it would seem like something like this is just an easy thing to let go. I can't imagine this is like going to be a massive windfall of extra cash for them. But the cynic in me says controlled demolition. Is that kind of what we have going on here? But Tony, I would love to hear your take.
Yeah, man, this is just another example of a failed and bankrupt country. And I think this is going to spread to more, you know, European countries that are in the same position. Now, these guys are coming after your money by hook or by crook, because, you know, that's what they do. And all these other measures that they're implementing in surveillance and digital ID and censorship and, you know, what have you, is so that you don't escape. They are literally, you know, putting up, you know, the walls, the bars to keep you a prisoner within, you know, their jurisdiction, so that they can infinitely extract from you. Right now, they removed this law. And if that doesn't work enough, well, then they'll create another one, you know, another stupid one, like taxing unrealized capital gains. So, you know, an imaginary tax on something you don't have. And if that doesn't work and people start leaving, well, then, you know, they implement an exit tax. And if that doesn't work, then God knows what they'll come up with. These are the signs, man. They've been, like, you know, spotlighting them for a very long time. And if you're like a German resident with the means to leave, you should consider it, because this is not going to get better anytime soon. In my opinion, the EU has to collapse completely to get rid of all of these, you know, parasites before it can be rebuilt properly and restore the Europe that, you know, many of us, you know and love and cherish. This is not it. Europe right now is infected by something that must be removed. And the only, you know, way to remove it is if the people do something about it. Very sad to see, man. But if you're in Germany, and again, you have the capability to exit Bitcoin in self-custody and then vote with your feet. The two things that matter, man, your money and your feet.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a two for one there. So two links I'm going to direct you to below. One of them is our Plan B residency program. Schedule some time with our team, learn more, because I think a lot more people need to consider getting out, especially if you're in a place like this, or really, we've been talking about Europe the whole time. If you're anywhere in Europe, you need to be looking into this. But the second thing is, if you want control over your wealth, not legal, tax, financial advice, but if you want control over your wealth and the option to decide what you do in terms of paying, buy non-KYC, peer-to-peer, sell, you know, well, hopefully don't sell, but spend, you know, peer-to-peer, and take proper 100% self-custody. We'll have a link below for you to schedule some time with our team to learn more about that as well. You've got to do it the right way. Counterparty risk-free, only the best tools. And we can help guide you through that with our white glove service. Okay, guys, up next, we have, surprising, 67 of 67 economists were wrong about Trump's inflation report, with inflation falling 0.4% over the month, the largest monthly decline in 6 years, per the White House. However, One other thing I want to note here is that from Kalshi, just in, U.S. home prices have hit an all-time high. So while they're saying inflation is down, we're seeing all-time high home prices, which is obviously something that many people desire and need in order to live a reasonably comfortable life. Tony, what's your thought on all the inflation talk?
Man, this is almost as laughable as the UK's attempts to ban VPNs. Like, who's going to believe these government numbers? All you have to do is walk into a supermarket and realize that the prices have gone up by 60 to 70% depending on where you are. And if you try to, you know, go shopping for a house, good luck with that. Like, you're going to need 27 jobs working 24/7 in order to maybe afford, you know, afford part of that house. It's a complete disaster, you know, economy-wise. And so when they release these absurd numbers, like, I don't know what they're trying to do. Either look funny or, you know, just spit in the faces of everyone who is suffering financially.
I'll add too, I saw an updated version of a sort of tweet that we've discussed before where someone had placed an online Walmart order and back in 2020, and it was, I'm going to make up the numbers because I don't remember, but it was like $67 or something. They went back to that order, re-added just those items again to the cart, and it was like $150. And so the fact that we have inflation is down month over, like, I understand that month to month that you're going to have different fluctuations, but certainly people are beginning to see, when they see a drop in the inflation, in the rate of inflation, they're going to grow increasingly skeptical when they see those sorts of tweets of what real world people are actually doing when they try to buy essentials like groceries from Walmart. So it's total clown world to me, but Katie, why don't you weigh in on this one?
So, you know, there's so much craziness going on here. First of all, CPI is not your inflation rate and it's not my inflation rate. It's a government index. I mean, you know, they don't release CPI so that you know how much your cost of living is going up. If people knew what their real inflation rates were, if they printed that every month, people would be out on the street. You know, they employ the figure for reasons such as indexing federal payments or benefits or tax code adjustments, also how they pay government contracts also depends on the inflation rate. It's not to tell Joe Bloggs of Kansas City how much more expensive his life is becoming. The other thing too is that when they say inflation has, when they say these numbers have dropped, to the casual observer, it might seem like inflation has gone down, but this number, let's just assume for a second that this number is accurate. It measures the velocity of inflation. So a drop in CPI in this index, it doesn't mean lower inflation. It just means that it's rising slightly less fast. Like you were saying, you know, people, they go to the grocery store, they see that their cart of groceries is now costing $150 instead of, you know, $60 or $70 back in 2020. And, you know, home prices, I didn't actually see how much they'd risen by, but I believe they've gone up like 60 or 70% since 2020. That is a much better reflection, the sort of inflation rate that people, real people in the real world, are experiencing and not CPI.
Well, there's a fun exercise people can do. You can take this article that was published with these numbers and just go present it, you know, at the cash register, wherever you're buying stuff, and tell them, hey, look, the president said the numbers are this. Give me a discount on, you know, the item that, on the item that I'm trying to buy here. And let's see how well that goes.
Yeah, exactly. I think the important distinction is that the inflation rate can go down while prices continue to go up. And if most people just understood that, then they would feel much less insane, feeling like they're not able to make ends meet quite as easily as they have, and far less easily than over the last 6 years. Okay, guys, we have reached our donkey of the week. I'm going to ask one more time, please make sure you smash that like button. Be sure you subscribe to the channel. Check out our BIP 110 episode if you're trying to sort through what to do with all of that. Okay, so we're going to tie this back to inflation and the cost of things with Katie here in just a moment. But in New South Wales, Australia has introduced a bill to allow dead people to be turned into compost, which is designed to be used in agriculture first of all, weirdest sentence I've read in a long time. They claim it's because they're running out of room to bury people. Instead, they'll be feeding dead people to everyone through the soil, I guess. Okay, oh, second weirdest sentence I've read in a long time. Katie, explain to us why inflation is at play with what they're introducing as a bill here.
Yeah, so in New South Wales, and you know, they were talking about Sydney specifically, which has probably some of the most expensive real estate on the planet. It can cost $50,000 just to purchase a burial plot. So that's nothing else. That's not the cost of the funeral or anything like that, just the burial plot. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that they don't die with a spare $50,000 to spend on a burial plot. So, of course, these days, the alternative is, I would say, at a guess, a vast majority of people are cremated when they pass away. Now we're being gaslit because cremation will have negative environmental effects, and it adds to your carbon footprint. So even after death, you're still responsible for boiling the oceans if you get cremated. So, you know, that's the bizarre part to me. It's not so much the idea of composting people. I mean, let's be real here, because, you know, personally, if I was to pass away, I don't much care if I'm buried in some ornate box 6 feet under, put in a great big oven, or throw me in the compost bin with some potato peelings and lawn clippings. You know, I'm not going to protest. You know, it's almost got this kind of dystopian bent about it. I sort of imagine this dystopian style film where in the future the ultra wealthy will be the ones, they have their $1 million burial plot with a sea view. You know, the money class can choose, you know, it's okay, I can have a big carbon footprint and I can be cremated after I die, but all the paws will be tossed into the local municipal human composting bin, and then the compost spread on the food grown for the other paws who are still alive. I mean, we would all be the donkeys in this scenario, because we're literally going to be too poor to die.
Yes. So I'm pulling up here. So there's a movie. I have not seen this. I've heard about the plot though. Soylent Green, which is like this dystopian thriller film. And basically they find it's you know, the masses can only afford to eat like from this big corporation called Soylent or something. And they introduce this product called Soylent Green. Come to find out that you're eating humans when you're consuming this product or something to that effect, because they can't afford anything else. And that's the cheapest way to get rid of people. But it sounds to me like maybe that's just coming to Australia. So Soylent Green is on its way. Tony.
This is so outrageous. I don't even know what to comment on this. Like, I mean, I knew things were going to get bad, but now this is just like completely off the charts. Australians have no value. You know, they're clearly telling you this, that, you know, even your death is... like, it doesn't have to be an honorable death. You know, if you pass away, you know, we'll just compost you and, you know, off you go, and we'll forget about you 30 seconds later. I mean, this should piss off every single person living there. These people are out of control, like honestly out of control. Like, you don't know what they're going to come up with, you know, next. If, you know, if you can't afford to die and they're treating you just like, you know, just like something that's like completely irrelevant, man, do something. Otherwise, I don't know. Like, honestly, I don't know what to comment on this. I'm like just like in shock at that headline.
Yeah. Well, I would really hate to be like a poor tree hugger in Australia right now, because you're not really stuck between a rock and a hard place. You're probably going to be stuck in someone's garden after you die. So very, very sad news, but to be expected. So just to be clear, the donkeys are anyone involved in introducing this bill. And of course, the people who have made it $50,000 just to buy a burial plot. Guys, I think that's a good place to wrap up. Thank you for everyone who's joined us. Again, be sure to like and subscribe to the channel. Check out the links I included below on self-custody, Plan B residency. Make sure, especially if you're in Europe right now, consider that Plan B, but also our personal cybersecurity services. You're going to need them just to navigate the web in any sort of anonymous fashion moving forward. And I think that's a good place to wrap for the week. Katie, Tony, thank you as always. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks guys.